Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart," the King James would say, "if we do not faint." And so here in the context of this, seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping, that was something that was established, and I've talked about this to some degree, that was something that was established before we were created. So seed time and harvest isn't a works thing. It's not a law thing. It's actually something that was created when, you know, I think on the third or fourth day, God created the herbs that had seed within itself, and then also created the trees that was bearing seed that would produce after its kind. So God established at the very beginning of creation that there are things that we have that has seed within itself that to produce after its kind. Now, along that same line, we are to produce after our own kind as well, and that is Christians should beget more Christians. Disciples of Christ should beget more disciples of Christ. Amen. So your life should be a life of you're duplicating yourself and having an effect on the outside world. But here, in what he's talking about a little bit is he's also talking about your lifestyle. He's also talking about your focus. You can either be sowing with kingdom-mindedness, sowing to your spirit, or you can, in the way that you think, the way that you talk, and the way that you act, you can be sowing to your flesh, okay? And so that moment that you decide, I'm going to yield to temptation, I'm going to yield, you know, to the flesh, I'm just going to keep sowing and sowing and sowing, I'm just going to keep doing things the way that the world does it, I'm just going to be like everybody else, and I'll just show my Christian stripes on Sunday morning, you know, and then and everybody else will think I'm just as holy as they are and just to do as great as they are. You know, I mean, the world lives that way. Sometimes the church lives that way, right? And so here he's really trying for us to get this mindset. We can either live our life according to the flesh or live our life according to the Spirit. Now, the fact of the matter is you have everything that you need that's available to you in the kingdom of heaven. You have the kingdom available to you. It's in your spirit, man. Your spirit is now joined to Jesus' spirit. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that the Spirit of God has been given to you, or given to us, that we would know the things that... God, I just looked right over at Cynthia at the wrong time, just as she was giving Eddie just a nice little kiss on the cheek and just messed me all kinds of up. Sorry to embarrass you in front of everybody, but I just lost my whole train of thought. Trying to think, is she sowing to the flesh or the spirit? I don't know. Oh, man. That's so sweet. Valentine's Day is tomorrow, guys, not tonight. Oh, yeah. She's sowing down so she'll reap the harvest tomorrow. I see what that is. Oh, man. That's awesome. Praise God. So, where was I? I have no idea. Your spirit is joined to Jesus' spirit. The Spirit of God has been given to us. Has been given to us, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, so that we would know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You know what? I like that scripture so much I want to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's describing. So in March, I told you I'd be doing some announcements, but in March, on Wednesday nights, we're going to start talking about the gifts of the Spirit with practical application and activation. In other words, if you have desired to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, if you want to know what a word of knowledge is, what prophecy is, how to flow in that, is there anybody here that's a desire of yours? You want to, yeah, absolutely. And so Wednesday night's going to be, man, we're just going to have all kinds of fun. And we're just going to start going for it. And I love that this month I'm teaching on hearing the voice of God. Already we're seeing such fruit from it. I'm seeing such growth from it. People they're saying, I'm hearing God, you know, and I've had some great conversations with people. But now that's going to set us up for March, April, and May. This will be a 3-month process that we go through. There's all kinds of great stuff going on. All right, so First Corinthians chapter 2, and I want you to see that in verse 4, Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It is not your great speaking. It's not my great speaking that's going to cause people to have faith, to experience God. Wonderful preachers are awesome. But at the end of the day, we're talking about that the new covenant is a spirit covenant. And God is a spirit. And so everything must be done by the Spirit of God. Everything must have its source from God, must have its source from what Jesus has done. In other words, the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, all of that, they cannot share in the glory of what God wants to do in an individual's life. God shares His glory with no man. We get to co-labor with Him. We get to partner with Him. But at the end of the day, all of us exist for the purpose of putting God on display in our life. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation and a peculiar people, which means you are God's, you know, choice people that He chose for Himself, sanctified, set apart for His purpose. And it says that we should show forth, that we should demonstrate, that we should manifest His praises. That we should manifest His praises. Your life should be a living testimony, a living worship, a living praise to Almighty God and to His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what people should see. They shouldn't see, you know, oh man, you're so special, you can do this and that and that. No. We always want to point to God. Amen. And so here, Paul says, look, it didn't come. It wasn't my speech, my preaching that was with enticing words of man's wisdom. I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Man, when people see God, when people see God healing people, when people are set free by the power of God, when people are just, their lives are radically transformed, man, that sticks. When people encounter God, remember how the woman at the well, Jesus came to her and, hey, would you give me something to drink? And she said, what you talking to me for? I'm a Samaritan. Jews aren't allowed to talk to us, you know. I mean, you guys are racist and all of that kind of stuff. And Jesus said, you know, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask of Him to give you water so that you wouldn't thirst. You'll never thirst again. And of course, she said, well, give me that water. I don't want to be thirsty again. He starts talking to her. They start talking about spiritual things. And then in the middle of it, Jesus said to her, He said, go call your husband and come here. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you know what? You're exactly right. Because you've been married 5 times. You've had 5 husbands. And the guy that you're with now is not your husband. Her response was, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. But here's what happened. First man didn't help her. The second man didn't help her. The third, the fourth, the fifth, even the sixth man. But that 7th man that came into her life, Jesus Himself, the fulfillment of all things, is the one that set her free. She encountered God Himself. And when she encountered Him, she ran to the city and said, come, see this man that's told me everything that I've done. And it wasn't in a condemning way. She came to celebrate the fact, because the way that Jesus ministered out of the gifts of the Spirit, out of a word of knowledge, was to elevate, was to try to bring her, was to get rid of the shame and the condemnation, and to bring her in a living relationship with Him, in a living relationship with God. And so she went, and so because she was impacted, her testimony caused the city to come out, and then they were impacted and said, well, now we're not going to believe you just because of what you said. Now we believe because we've heard Him for ourselves. When people encounter the living Christ for themselves, they are changed. They are changed forever. And so here, Paul knew that. Paul knew that it wasn't his great teaching. And so he said, was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The church, unfortunately, has been throughout history a powerless church. The power of God hasn't been in the church. People haven't understood that the power of God should be available in our lives. Jesus didn't enter into ministry until He was baptized in the Holy Ghost and with power. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, he poured the anointing of the Holy Spirit all over Jesus of Nazareth, the man. And He says, who went about, says, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. He says, and what will happen? He says, the Holy Ghost, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to come on you and you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. We can only witness effectively to people around us out of the degree of power that's working in our lives. The power of God is given to us to break off yokes, to destroy burdens, to liberate us, to set us free. And when we're walking in that, and when we're experiencing that, and that's what I want to talk to you about, living in that realm of power and experiencing that, when we're in that place, now God's got something, somebody that He can work with. Because we are His body, we are His hands, we are His feet. Amen. You know, I just had this picture that somebody who is paralyzed, perhaps from the waist down, they have to be rolled around in a wheelchair, their legs can't move. What's the problem? Medically, what's the situation? What's the issue that would cause somebody to have paralysis, to not be able to move, for the legs not, and for them not to be able to feel their feet and their toes and things like that? Isn't it that there is a disruption somewhere in their nervous system? Perhaps they had a back injury. Perhaps their spinal cord got cut. Perhaps it was something like that. But essentially what has happened is the nerves in their legs that would control their muscle movement and things like that got disconnected from the signals that were coming from the head. Do you know that I think that sometimes that the church is in a state of paralysis and not moving because the signals that's come from the head, Jesus Christ, they have been disconnected from that in a way, and they don't know how to hear the voice of God, and they don't know that the power of God flows from Jesus to them, and they don't know that instruction from God flows from Jesus to them. And so the church, by and large, has been paralyzed and impotent and weak and unable to move because they're looking to each other, they're looking to the pastor, they're looking to this, they're looking to, you know, and it's about the flesh, and they're not sowing to their spirit. And if we have a mindset that, man, I am about the kingdom, and I'm going to sow to my spirit, and the things of the kingdom and the things of the king are more important in my life than anything else, guys, the paralysis will be removed. You'll start walking. You'll stand up out of your wheelchair of comfort and your wheelchair that you're having to wait for other people to push you around. I'm just, not y'all. Y'all are great people, okay? I'm just talking generally to the church, you know, that the church is waiting for the pastor to push them in their wheelchair and to encourage them and all of that. No, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to hear from him yourself. You are the body of Christ, the hands and the feet. Man, this is awesome. I'm excited. So he went there in demonstration of the Spirit and power so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Would to God that ministers say, I'm not going to do this, Father, unless your power is there to back it up, that you confirm the word with signs following, that I'm going to be just like the disciples. And so he goes on to say that in verse 7, that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Look at verse 9. This gets so good. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. And if you read this with the right filter and the right understanding, you won't read it to say, well, that means that God works in mysterious ways and we can't know what the will of God is. You miss the whole point, because we have to read the next verse. But before we get there, the point of this is that God has prepared so much for you. God has prepared so much for me that it's gone, but you haven't even begun to think about everything that God has prepared for you. What God wants to do for you. Monday night, I was with a group of people, a small group, and we were praying about some things, and we were ministering before the Lord, and I'll talk about some of those things, you know, as the weeks come on. But in the middle of it, I was just like, so what are you guys getting from God? What's he saying to you? And one person said, you know, I hear the word suddenlies. Suddenlies. That God is getting ready to do some suddenlies in people's lives. You know, like suddenly they'll be healed. Suddenly they'll be set free. Suddenly there'll be promotion. Suddenly there, you know, suddenly something will happen that you didn't expect to happen. Suddenly. That's a scripture. That's a word, you know, that suddenly these things, suddenly there was a sound from heaven and came in as a rushing mighty wind. You know, there's all of these suddenlies that God does. And I'm like, well, I'll take that, man. Let's go for it. That's awesome. And can I tell you that yesterday, as I was meeting with another pastor, something suddenly happened that I didn't know that God was even working on. I can't talk about it, but something suddenly happened. It was just I'm sitting there. I'm just like, man, my mind is blown right now. That God's been doing this whole time. Today I get a call from somebody, and in something that I would have never even begun to think about or even dare to dream about was just dropped in my lap for this church, and I can't talk about it right now. So suddenly I'm gonna close my mouth. I can't talk about it.
I'll
Because what? I'm not teasing you. I'm just telling you, God's doing some suddenly. So I've got some insight into the hidden mysteries. there will be a time I can't talk about it, but I'm waiting for confirmation on some things. So I just don't want to. I just don't want to put it all out there, and then all of a sudden, so it gets suddenly dragged back. But this is what Jennifer and I've been living for 8 years as we've learned about the goodness of God and Jesus. Is just like, what? All of these things, like, what? What is God doing? Things that had never entered into our heart, God has done. Let me encourage you, because here's what he says: neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Your starting place has to be in the goodness of God, and that God has prepared some things for you. And whether it looks like it, or whether it doesn't look like it, or whether it seems like that nothing has changed in your life and nothing has changed in your current situation, you have got to be steadfast in believing the goodness of God and that there are things that He has prepared for you. That's why that scripture I started out in Galatians chapter 6, where it talks about sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit, so that you're going to reap life out of the Spirit. But then it says, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in doing what's right. Don't be weary in sowing into your life out of the Spirit. Don't be weary in putting pressure on the Word of God and continuing to have the Word. Don't be weary in hearing the voice of God. Even though if nothing looks like it's changed, the Bible says that in due season, somebody say due season. This is an automatic. Your crop cannot fail. Your crop in the Spirit, anything that you sow into your spirit, as long as you won't give up, cave in, or quit. Because that's what it says. That if you are not weary in well-doing, but that it says in due season you will reap if you don't faint, if you don't give up, if you don't quit. Think about Peter walking on the water to Jesus. Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. And so Jesus said, man, come. You know, I don't think Jesus was there saying, oh man, this is not going to end well. I think Jesus was like, yes, somebody wants to get out and walk in the supernatural with me. I think he was excited about Peter asking for that. And Jesus said, come. You know what? I got all these people over here, so let me go the other. Here's the boat. I'm going to come your way. Jesus is over there. So Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking, looking at Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he starts looking to the right, looking to the left, like, oh my gosh, there's storms out here. There's waves. What in the world was I thinking? You know, as if calm water would have made anything any different, right? And so the Bible says that the fear in his heart, and I want you to get this here for just a moment, right? This is a key. This is just a nugget, just a side nugget. I want you to notice that when he began to sink, it was the condition of his heart that determined whether or not he was above the circumstances or sinking right down into the circumstances, right down. So it wasn't what he said. Wasn't what he did. It's what was going on in his heart. This is the reason why it tells us in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm just giving you a whole lot of stuff tonight, guys. I've got all kinds of stuff happening. Just it's good stuff. Y'all not in a hurry, are you? So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them. Keep the word of God in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them. All right? Now, if there's a finding, that means there has to be a seeking. Those that are oriented, that have oriented their lives to seek the kingdom and to seek the Word of God, and to make that the priority. Colossians chapter 3, I'm just giving you a lot of scripture right now, but Colossians chapter 3 tells us that because our life is hid in Christ, that we are to set our affections, we are to set our desires, we are to set our emotions, we are to set all of those things on things that are above, and we are to keep them set there. For Christ, who is our life, that's where our life is, and He'll appear. But, you know, so if we're going to find our life, it's in seeking the kingdom. It's in seeking His righteousness. And it's not a one-time seek and a one-time find. It's a continual seeking. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. But he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that what? Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him indicates persistence, indicates a lifestyle, indicates something that is really important. If I were to tell you that right now under one of these chairs is $1,000, how many of you would just look under yours and like, well, I guess it's not me, and that's done? Church would be over, right? Everybody is going, you know. There would be a persistent, diligent seeking that would take place. And then Stephen would say, found it, so that everybody stopped looking. And then when everybody leaves, he would go and keep looking again, right? No, it'd be diligent. So how much more should we be seeking after the things of God? So Peter, and I may not have finished that whole thought, but let's get back to Peter. So Peter's walking on the water. Oh, yeah. So if there's a finding, there's a seeking. All right? So Proverbs 4, that's where I was. But then it goes on to say, guard your heart. Somebody say heart. Heart. Say, I'm going to guard my heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. The Amplified says, guard your heart and above everything that you guard. In other words, if there's one thing that you're going to protect in your life, it's not your house, it's not your car, and it's not your valuables. If there's one thing that's the most important thing to protect in your life, it is your heart. For out of your heart flows and springs forth the issues of life. So now if I'm just feeding seed and bad seed into my heart, and I'm listening to the wrong things, and I'm talking the wrong things, and I'm watching the wrong things, and I'm just living life like everybody else, and just complaining like everybody else, and just responding like everybody else, then I'm going to reap a crop or a harvest of what everybody else gets and what the rest of the world gets. And if I just respond with my own effort and my own thing, I'm just going to receive the fruit of my own bad choices. And a lot of people deal with that. But what if I were to guard my heart and say, you know what? I'm going to start thinking about kingdom. And God, what have you provided for me? What's available to me? How should I live? How should I see myself? What have you said about me? What are your promises to me? And so 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 or 4 there says that through the precious promises of God, that by them we would be partakers of the divine nature, of God's nature, that we are designed to be a part and experience God's nature on the inside of us, that He wants to live in us and He wants to live through us. And so that His nature should permeate, should go through every aspect of our lives. The picture is all through the Bible. Man, I just am so excited. Can y'all tell I'm a little excited right now? I'm going to explain why I'm excited in just a minute. So in Psalm 1, here's a great picture. It says that those that meditate in the Word of God day and night, that indicates that there is an absolute persistent seeking of what God has said, a discovery of what's going on in the kingdom. Those that meditate in the Word day and night, Psalm 1, verse 2, it says, they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here's my question. Are you planted by the rivers of water? Is there a continual flow into your life? Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But if you're not thinking focused, talking that way, if you have not oriented your life to where God is first, righteousness is first, the kingdom of God is first, the love of God is first, and that you're responding to people out of the kingdom and you're responding that way, if you're not thinking that way, then you've probably, as a tree, you've probably kind of picked up your roots and just backed away from the river a little bit. You have to stay planted. A tree is unmovable. The Bible calls us trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And we've got to identify with that truth to receive this continual inflow from the Spirit of God, from the grace of God, from the love of God. See? Now, he says he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and it says, whose leaves will not wither. What that paints a beautiful picture to me. You think of a big oak tree by a stream, and you think of all the branches, and if all the branches would represent some aspect of your life, one branch would be your family. Another aspect may be your parents. Another branch would be your job. Another branch would be your church community. Another branch, you know, we all have different branches in our lives. But then, you know, we can talk, that's big picture, but then we can talk about the leaves that are on those branches and the hundreds and the thousands of leaves that are on that tree that would represent every small detail to every branch that's in your life. Not one leaf will wither. Not one small detail will wither, will dry up, will fall off, will cease to exist. Because the Spirit of God is giving continual life, continual life. You're sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing, that is what, that your life is oriented to sow to the Spirit. That is where your life is. It's in Jesus. You sow to the Spirit, and now everything is flourishing, 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 flourishing. So out of your heart flows the issues of life. So the condition of Peter's heart indicated whether or not he was going to stay above the circumstances or to sink. And as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to consider and begin to think, sometimes your brain will mess you up. Faith isn't born out of your thinking. Faith isn't born out of your reasoning. Okay? Faith is latching hold of something that may be unreasonable, but is definitely unseen. And you make a choice that I'm going to go beyond. You know, as a child, you knew how to believe. How many of you played make-believe as a kid? And it was just as real to you. Did anybody here have an imaginary friend growing up? Oh, nobody's going to admit that. Okay. Maybe it was just me. I don't know. No. Children have such vivid imaginations. You can tell them anything. And guess what? They'll just believe you. I mean, you can tell them that around Easter time, there is a bunny that hops around and that lays eggs. And you know what? They believe you. And they never think about where those eggs come from. They just start opening them out, and you know, they just believe, right? If you're going to receive the kingdom, you've got to be like a little child. Faith is just making a choice to trust, to believe. Amen. 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 So Peter's sinking. Let's not keep Peter sinking. Here's what I wanted you to get when I started this story way back a long time ago. Peter's sinking. And remember, we're talking about persistence, and we're talking about not caving in, and we're not talking about not giving up. And as he begins to sink, he said, "Lord, save me." He cried out, "Lord, save me." And so what happened? Jesus reached down his hand, grabbed a hold of him, and picked him up. What does that tell me? It tells me that Peter was almost there. Peter wasn't this far away and sinking, saying, "Lord, save me," and Jesus had to hurry up and run to him. Peter almost got there and said, "Okay, now I think I've got this. Let me look around." Whoops. And then he sank, almost at the finish line, if you will. Let's not be those that wait till we're just about there. God, the word for you guys tonight, the word that I want you to get, is you've got to be persistent in doing what is right. Well, I haven't seen a change. Be persistent. This is what I want to encourage you about. You know, well over a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, we have been meeting every Saturday praying. And we meet at 9 o'clock. It's open to everybody. But Jennifer and I, we are here almost all the time unless we're out of town. And it has transformed our lives. It has transformed our lives. And quite honestly, I didn't know that I could pray for a set time every week for a year, let alone 2 years. But it has not gotten dry. It has not gotten old. I keep looking forward to it every single week. And I'm just going to keep doing it because I love to hear what people are saying and all of that. So back in November, I started struggling in some different areas. And so I just want to share this as a testimony. Let's see what time it is. Okay, I'm good. A couple of things happened, okay? First of all, I started dealing with pain. So I want to encourage people that have been dealing with sickness or dealing with consistent and persistent pain. I started dealing with pain in my jaw, TMJ, I think is what they call it, and it was excruciating. I also felt like I had pulled a groin muscle. We'd done a lot of work around the house. And I could not get any relief for that pain. And so I tried everything. I mean, I tried resting for 2 or 3 days. I just, everything naturally. We prayed, you know. I mean, certainly went with prayer, but it just did not seem like I was seeing a manifestation of that. And so there's all of that. And then, but internally, what God had been talking to me about, particularly coming into this year, 2019, is to ramp up. Remember, ramp up your expectancy. Let's accelerate into 2019. So I didn't let the pain and I didn't let the difficulty stop me from going on with God and listening to what God had to say. You know, in other words, I didn't let the pain paralyze me like, well, until I get healed and until I deal with this one issue and until I get over it, you know, I can't do anything else. Some people will let what is happening in their life absolutely paralyze them, and you cannot let what's going on in your life disconnect you from the voice of God. You cannot let one thing that's happening in one area stop everything else that God wants to do in every other area. You may not know why I don't know why the pain persisted, you know, at the time. I don't know what was going on, but I've got to the place that I stopped questioning myself. I stopped looking to myself. I stopped saying, well, where did I miss it? What have I done wrong? And all of that. I just had to say, God, I'm going on with you. I trust you. I believe you. And so what do you want me to do for tomorrow? What do you want me to do for next week? Because God has put more available to me that I have no idea what he's going to do in my life. So why would I let pain stop me from experiencing God's goodness? Stop second guessing yourself. Stop second guessing your situation. God is with you. God has made you more than a conqueror. That's what he has declared about you. He says, thanks be unto God who always leads us into triumph. Always. You may not be experiencing the triumph that you want to see right at this moment in a particular area of your life, but do not be weary in doing what is right. Continue sowing to your spirit, not to your flesh. I almost said flesh, but don't do that. Get into 2019, and it's going to be awesome. I'm excited. It's going to be great. And then it seemed like all hell broke loose in my computer business. Every one of my customers got almost a crippling virus. One of my customers said, "What's the common denominator here?" You. No. Thank God it wasn't just my customers. This was happening all across. You know, there's a lawyer that fired their IT people, their computer people, because they lost three servers and didn't have a backup. So thank God I wasn't their IT people. But anyway, it hit, and it was just like one after another. Like as soon as I got one of them fixed, then the next day I got a call from another one, one after another. And man, I was getting a little frustrated. But you know what? The Bible says that we have to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And that we've got to learn how to count it all joy. That when Paul and Silas, I was actually planning on going through the story tonight, but I'm not going to do that. But Paul and Silas, when they ended up being thrown in the prison in a dark, nasty dungeon, with mice running around, rats running around, no light in the place. I'm talking about they were at the deepest, darkest dungeon, and they got thrown into that. Do you know what their response was at midnight? They are praying. They are singing praises to God. They are in a spirit of thanksgiving. They are in a spirit of joy because they were in that city because Paul had a vision to go there. And the moment that they did, Bible says that God inhabits, we may talk about this next week, but God dwells in, He inhabits the praises of His people. When we allow praise to erupt, I don't care what your situation is, but you're giving God thanks for the victory. You're giving God thanks for wisdom. You're giving God thanks for salvation. You're giving God thanks in everything and you're praising Him. What happens is the glory of God. The glory of God comes in and He begins to dwell in those praises. So the words that you speak begin to go into the atmosphere and they give God a container and His presence a container to get involved in. I don't have time to develop this. We'll look at it next week. But just know that in Isaiah chapter 6, that there are two, that Isaiah saw a vision, that there are two seraphims, that they're on one side of the throne and the other side of the throne, and one begins to cry to the other, "Holy, holy is the Lord," and the other responds and cries back. And it says, as a result of their cry, all of a sudden that the foundations, the post of the temple were shaken. And the glory of God smoke filled the place. What does it say happened to Paul and Silas as they begin to praise? As they begin to, instead of, they could have sat there and said, "Well, God, we're obeying what you said for us to do. God, you gave me a vision, and I'm trying to be faithful to you. And where are you, God?" No, I get thrown into prison. And what, you know, and yan, 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 and murmur and complain. And let me tell you something, nothing would have happened to them. God cannot get involved in that. God can't, His presence will not just show up in the middle of your murmuring and your complaining. God shows up when people cry out to Him. God shows up when people praise Him. God shows up in their thanksgiving. Glory to God. See. And so as they're praising, and it says they were doing it loud enough so that the rest of the prisoners heard them. This is midnight. Probably the rest of the prisoners said, "Shut up, we're trying to sleep." But they're praising. They're thanking God. And it says that all of a sudden, there was an earthquake and it shook. the glory of God came in. And when the glory of God shows up in a place, it's not about the anointing. It's not about the anointing on a man. It's not about the anointing of what it can do. When the glory of God comes into a place, God begins to work without the aid of man. And what happened in that moment is after it shook and God's presence came in, what happened is that it says that the chains that they were bound with came undone. And not only on them, but it came undone on all the prisoners throughout the whole place. Your praise and your thanksgiving and the presence of God in your life shouldn't just impact your life. You should be deliverance walking. You should be salvation walking. That everywhere you go, that man, the anointing of God, the glory of God is impacting people's lives. Prison doors, it said, flung open. Every one of them. When God shows up, there's nothing that can contain His presence, His power, and His glory. But again, what if they had just kind of given up? So a week ago, you know, I stayed in that as much as I could in praise. Sure, I did complain a little bit. It would be more like this. A customer call, like, what is going on? Why is this, you know, like, I've never experienced this kind of thing. You know, and I had to stay in a place of joy. I stay in a place of persistence. I stay in a place, listen to me, I believe this is a word for somebody, that you may not see the light at the end of the tunnel. You may not see how God can deliver you, but you don't know what He is already at work doing. What you've got to do is you've got to say, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'm going to keep praising my God. I'm going to keep thanking Him for deliverance. I'm going to keep doing that. I will not give up. I will not cave in. I will not quit. I will not faint. I will not be weary. I am going to allow this to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. That even if it went from bad to worse, I'm still going to praise God. Habakkuk says that even though the field, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and even if there is no a herd in the stalls, you know, and the olive shall fail, like even if everything in the natural doesn't look good, he says, yet will I praise the Lord. You got to see it for yourself. Habakkuk chapter 2. Is this blessing anybody or is it just me that's just... Okay, I just want to make sure that maybe I'm not talking to... You know, talking to the wall or something like that, because I'm fired up. I'm fired up. I got to wrap up two thoughts. Habakkuk chapter 2, and if you'll look at verse, I think it's Habakkuk 2, maybe it's chapter 3. Yeah, chapter 3, verse 17 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, that's pretty bad. That's not a good situation any way you slice it. Yet, look at his response to this situation. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, my deliverance. In other words, the focus isn't on what's going on. The focus is on the God who delivers, the God who saves. I've got to make a decision. I'm going to praise. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. Not ladies, the high heels. We're talking about mountains here. He'll cause you to rise above. Oh man, some lady's going to take that and say, high heels, oh, that's for me now. Glory to God. I just want you to see the prophet's response to bad situations. I'm going to praise God because God is going to deliver me. God's going to make me from... Can we say that? Can we be that persistent? Can we be that focused? Can we say, I don't care. I had to do that. Got pain going on in my body. No relief. All of a sudden, now I've got stuff going on in my business. And no time to do some stuff that I really need to do and need to focus on. What do I do in that situation? Do I start saying, well, I thought God was going to say 2019 was going to be awesome. Man, it sure started off pretty bad. Har. How'd it start out for y'all? I mean, you know, because I've had a bad month, you know. Man, we joke about negative stuff when we should be praising about the good stuff. We should be encouraging, should be edifying. No, I didn't do that. I had a word for God. I know what this year is supposed to be like. I know what God is doing in this church, what God is doing in the people here. And so, you know, so what I do? You deal with each situation. You deal with each problem. You deal with each computer. You can't sit there and get frustrated. You can't sit there and, you know, pull out your hair. I've already pulled it all out. You can't do any of that. You can't sit there and whine and complain. You got to deal with the situation. Leaders deal with problems as they come. They don't sit there and cave in and quit and faint because leaders don't have anybody else to do the work for them. Are you going to be a leader or are you going to be a follower? Are you going to approach the giant, run towards the giant, or are you going to be okay with just letting other people run towards the giant instead? See? It's a difference between just the average Christian and somebody that wants to be strong and bold and experience all the things that God has for you. So a little bit over a week ago, as I was praying, I got this crazy word from God that really I thought it had to be a word of the devil. He said, cut out dark chocolate and don't eat any more. Get thee behind me, Satan. In August, in July and August, I changed my diet. Lost 25 pounds in 5 weeks in the process. I mean, people were like, are you sick? Is like something going on in your, you know, that you're not telling us about? No, I'm fine. Everything's good. But the weight came off. One of the things we cut out was sugar. So chocolate, different things like that. But dark chocolate is something that generally can be good for you and isn't like regular chocolate, you know, and there's some good properties. And so we started eating about a little square of chocolate a day. And that square gradually grew to half a bar to a bar a day.
That wasn't me, that was you.
Jennifer says, that wasn't me, that wasn't her, that was me. And she's right. I had a problem. And so God says, get rid of the dark chocolate. Now, this is where you have to decide. Are you going to obey the voice? Are you going to sow to the Spirit? Or are you going to keep sowing to the flesh? Come on. Because if I'd said, you know what? It'll be fine. I'll do it next week. When God gives you a word, He doesn't give you a word for next week. When He says you need to stop doing something, He means you need to stop doing it right now. And a lot of times people want to put a timestamp on when God's word is convenient for them and when they've gotten their flesh under control and when once they've worked up to being no, we've got to be people that are willing to yield to God and obey God and in a moment, because our suddenlies of obedience will reap in suddenlies of harvest, or a harvest of suddenlies. Maybe I should say it that way. Does that make sense? Okay, so I said, okay, done. Father, I'm following you, so cut it out. Quit it cold turkey. 4 days later, no lie, 4 days later, I woke up with no pain. No pain in my jaw, no pain where I felt like I had pulled those groin muscles, no pain whatsoever. I'm like, what in the world? Started doing a little research. And it's possible that you can, with chocolate and stuff, that if you develop an allergy to it, that it causes swelling of the joints. Who knew? The Holy Spirit knew. So see, praying for healing while I was continuing to feed the problem, healing isn't what I needed. I needed wisdom. See, that's what I needed. And so being sensitive, but what, you know, and the doctors probably would have never found that if I had gone to the doctor. They would have never said, you know what, you've got a chocolate issue. Has anybody ever been diagnosed with a chocolate issue? I don't know that they even have a proper term for that. And I have been pain-free ever since. It is awesome. And I didn't even realize how I was managing my pain for 3 months, that I just learned to live with it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so Saturday at prayer, to finish this up and to close it, bring it all to a close, Saturday at prayer, Sarah Ralph came up to me. She said, I have got a word of God, a word from God for you. I said, okay, bring it on. I love words from God. And she said, you know, I see that it's been like, there's been an attack, like a oppression, a spirit of oppression or dark cloud or something like that, that's been attacking you for the past few months. But God says it's over. God says it's done. You know, you won't have to work by the sweat of your brow. Jesus came so that you wouldn't have to, you know, struggle and all of that. And he says, it's absolutely over. I said, you know what? I received that in the name of Jesus. I'd already, you know, received the healing. But now he was talking about the other stuff. And I'm telling you, she's absolutely spot on, 100%. I come in Monday morning, I'm like, come on, guys, let's get it all together. Let's talk. Let's do this. Let's, you know, I am feeling great today. The clouds have opened up. You know, and the hills are alive with the sound of music. You know, I mean, and the birds are chirping and everything is glorious. And I thank God for that, you know. But why? Is it because now God says, you know, well, I think Mark's had enough. I think he can't bear it anymore. No. It's because I was not weary in well-doing. I continued to sow to my spirit. We put on more teaching, more things in this time, in this season, you know, that when I didn't feel like hearing the word, when I didn't want to hear the word, that's the time I need to hear the word most. I need to sow to my spirit. I need to be focused on my spirit. I need to be focused on the finished work of what Jesus did. And then to finish the scripture, because I never did finish it, but here back in 1 Corinthians 2, I'm wrapping up all my neat little, everything in a neat little bowl, you know, all my little rabbit trails I went on tonight. It says here, 1 Corinthians 2, it says, eye has not seen, verse 9, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Through his Spirit, God is revealing what he has prepared for each and every one of us. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The things that that have been freely given to us by God. Oh, man. The life that God has for us. The suddenlies he wants to do in our life. The things that he has prepared for us. He just desires for us to discover through the Spirit. And if we sow to our spirit, we'll reap understanding. We'll see into those things. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know, so this is kind of, and this is one of the reasons why I'm excited. This is where we're headed as a church. God is doing something that, you know, that I did not know that he was up to. And that, I mean, it's beginning to be laid out for this year. And I want to just talk to you about it for just a brief moment. So Sunday, Ashley Terades will be here ministering. I will be here as well. I'm looking forward to it. We wanted him to come. He'll also be here at Karis Saturday from 9 to 12. Is that right? 9 to 12. It's open to the public. You guys are going to be absolutely 100% blessed by his ministry and what he has to share and to offer. But we're talking about hearing the voice of God in February on Sunday mornings and probably into March a little bit. And then on March, the first Wednesday night, we're going to start talking about the move of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, equipping in response to that, so that we're stepping into a place that you are stepping out and letting God use you, okay? And in that moment, this will be a safe environment. We'll do the teaching via live stream. We'll have that going. But when we get into activation and when we get into, you know, stepping out and, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, live stream goes off and it's just about being here, okay? So if that's something that if you're watching by live stream that you're really interested in, plan on coming in March on Wednesday night. So we're going to do that March, April, and May. And then in June, we had this come up in June the 8th and the 9th. We're going to have a Voice of God weekend. Voice of God weekend, June the 8th and the 9th. We're going to have Daniel Amstutz, who is the worship director at Karis Bible College. And then we're going to have a man by the name of Joseph Z. The reason why it's Z is because you can't pronounce his last name. So he goes by Joseph Z. He and Daniel travel, and they do these Voice of God weekends with prophetic activation in them, okay? And so it'll be all day Saturday, and then they'll minister Sunday morning, and that's going to be awesome. And so it's all just come out. In July, we'll have the Grace Conference, and so what happened today is there may be something that's happening right there on July the 24th that night, that would be a Wednesday night, that is somebody I did not expect to be here at the conference. I'll tell you those details as they get confirmed, but it'll be prophetic in nature. In August, the weekend of the 24th and 25th, we'll have Mary Frances Varello here, who is a prophet in her own right, a Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then we just had, in the last week, we are working on something happening in September, somebody else that flows in the gifts of the Spirit and words of knowledge from another country. God has supernaturally connected us, and it looks like he's going to be here. And then March the 24th, Alex Serrano will be here on Sunday morning. So God is up to something, guys, you know, and I am excited about it. I mean, prophecy, hearing the voice of God, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Guys, this is for you. This isn't, I mean, yes, Jennifer and I are going to receive everything that we can, but I'm not God's not bringing them in just for me and Jennifer. This is for the Life of Faith church family that God is wanting you guys to step into and to activate and to experience the gifts of the Spirit at a level that you didn't even know was possible. Only God could orchestrate what he is orchestrating right now. And so I just want to take a moment, give him praise. I wanted to let you know what's coming and what's going on, because sometimes y'all don't get to see what's happening behind the scenes, but I am just like, man, this week my mind is just like, what in the world? Father, you are so good. So I'm just going to pray, because my heart is just overwhelmed with thanksgiving. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for who you are. Father, we just, I'm just really conscious of your presence right now and your goodness and your love. And your love for this church and your love for each and every one of us. And you love every one of your children, and we're all your favorite, and I know that. But Father, just this season that we're in, the words that you've spoken, and just, what you're doing in the lives of every person that is here, and what you desire to see as we grow together in these things, as we grow together, and that growing happens out of the effectual working from every person, from every joint, what every joint supplies, from the gift that's in each person. And man, God, you just want to take us from glory to glory to glory to experience more and more and more. And I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Father, for your love. And we acknowledge your love. And we acknowledge who you are. And Jesus, we acknowledge you, that you're the head of this church, that you're the head of everything that takes place, and that you get all the glory. Get glory in everything that happens. Everything. As we surrender, as we just even personally surrender our lives to you, surrender our lives to the King, surrender our lives, every thought, every action. If there's any place of fear in us, Father, let, as we acknowledge your love, we thank you that that love roots out and casts out every fear in Jesus' name. We make a choice to believe, to trust in your love. Let that be our standard. If there be any root of bitterness on the inside of us, any dark place that we would hold on to, anything that we would focus in on ourselves on, Father, Holy Spirit, help reveal those things. Help us see those things, to let go of those things, and to recognize there's nothing about me, nothing about us, but it's all about you, Jesus, and all about you, Father God, and it's about you, the expansion of your kingdom, and that people would be set free in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you. I see a great increase coming, a move of your Spirit, a move of the anointing, a move of the glory, such as not been seen, at least in my lifetime. And so, Father, we just say yes to being a part of that, yes to being a part of this great move that will happen in the hearts of people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for signs and wonders and miracles. It's just done by your hand. It's done through the name of Jesus. You know, just while I'm praying right now, it's just, there's a sweet presence right now. And so I just want to invite you just to let the Lord work in your life. The Holy Spirit, I believe, for some of you, is just wanting to share and talk to you for a moment, that perhaps it's, there's always times that you're shifting and you're always saying yes to God. And perhaps some of you have had some of the busyness and some of the distractions and some of the opportunities that I, similar to what I've had, that would try to get your eyes off of Jesus and try to get your eyes on all of this, and you've been distracted. And God says tonight's a great night for you to just recenter and refocus and look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith, and He provides everything that you need to cross that finish line, everything that you need to walk hand in hand with Him, everything that you need to experience His goodness and to experience everything that He's already provided for you. And just refocus right now. Martha was busy, trying to serve everybody and do, she was just doing too much. Mary didn't care about everybody else. She just sat at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said that that was the most important. So, Father, we acknowledge that. Amen. I just see that there's a shift takes place in your thinking and in your heart, that for some of you, you're going to experience rapid healing. Rapid healing. Listen to the Spirit of God on that. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. You're so good. This next week starts our small groups. You can go onto our website, lifeoffaith.church, and the small groups page, you can start signing up. Please sign up. Please register so we know. I am starting a Freedom Reigns meeting Monday night at 7 o'clock. I encourage you, if you know anybody that's in fear, that's addicted, that's depressed, that's oppressed, that just can't seem to get out of their funk, if you will, that, you know, whatever it is, and I'm talking if the situation is desperate, I encourage you, invite them to come. If you have to, come with them. At 7 o'clock, we're going to be in the fellowship hall. I'm so excited about this. God's put on my heart. You know, we did an I Am Free series last year. This year, we're doing Freedom Reigns. And so I just want to do something that God's put on my heart in the way that I want to see it happen with people that's been experiencing that. Because the Bible says that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. And that means it goes all the way down to people that are the lowest of the low. Jesus wants to take the lowest of the low and make them the highest of the high. So that'll be our small group Monday night at 7 o'clock. We have all kinds of other things. Get involved. Get connected. Watch as the Spirit of God starts operating in all of these small groups. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy, healings. It's going to be fantastic. This is going to be an amazing season. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah.